Hello and welcome to part two of the interview with Manar Mahawesh, the founder and editor of Mint Press News. And so the site has. I wanted to ask you about how you view journalism and some of the challenges you think really need to be taken on by organizations. My view is that we really have to convince people in the United States in particular that journalism is a public service, and that on some level you're going to have to invest in it if you want to get news that isn't the sort of thing that you and I have spent time railing against in this interview. And so somehow with independent organizations, you have to find a way to convince people that you're offering them something that's a public service.
Right. And right now we live in a very, fast food, headline driven news industry. And I didn't talk too much about that in your last question, but that's really why I started Mint Press, is because we live in this very fast food, headline driven news industry. So people are getting snippets of what's happening around them, if they're even getting that. But most of the coverage now is infotainment. It's celebrity-driven. It's sensationalized news stories. And the truth of the matter is that most people don't really know what is going on around them. We're being inundated day in and day out with the same kind of this sensationalized kind of news coverage. And this context, the substance to news is completely lost. And so people today don't really even know what real journalism is and what news media is. And that's no surprise, because I think a recent Gallup poll showed that over 60% of Americans don't even trust the media anymore. And although we do still consume it, most people see it as a form of entertainment and, sensationalism. They don't see it as a source of really getting informed and educated. And so what we're trying to do at Press, I know you guys are trying to do this at Shatterproof, is just really reinvigorate the public through this public service of informative journalism that is lost, that we just doesn't exist anymore. And that is because of the consolidation of the media. I mean, the media, even in the 1980s, was made up of over 50 corporations that own the media. And since 2001, they've consolidated to about six corporations. So now we have six corporations literally controlling over 90% of what Americans see, hear, and read. And so when it comes to conflicts like in what's happening in Syria, or what's happening in Libya, or issues taking place in Venezuela or Colombia, or even here, the issues that take place here with corporate ownership and corporate takeover of our own government, the infringements on our Fourth Amendment and our First Amendment rights, with the spying that's happening towards journalists and towards just regular citizens and activists. Most people aren't getting the truth. And then when it comes to me and you, who are actually presenting the truth, a lot of people either get really, really excited, which is why we have the readership that we have, because people really want something with substance. They're so excited to see that, real journalism does exist. Or the neocons come out with their attacks. And the attacks are usually not against our journalism, if you notice. It's usually against, something about us personally. It becomes an ad hominem, just like the ad hominems that Snowden gets every single day for exposing the government spy. I mean, why isn't the media talking about and acting as a watchdog to the government? I mean, the media is supposed to be the fourth branch of government, to keep the government in check. Why isn't the media talking about government spying and this infringement on our Fourth Amendment? Instead, they're going after Snowden, calling him, a Russian aide or, un-American. If anything, Snowden is the most American person and most patriotic person that probably exists today. And so that's what we're trying to do, is bring back the true meaning, the real meaning of journalism as defined by our First Amendment and by the Constitution.
I wanted to so you're talking about infotainment, and one of the more critical issues is that we've gone to a model with media that is entirely driven by the elections that happen every 4 years. And it's very, I'd say it's very draining on anybody's effort to do investigative journalism. And in fact, at Shadowproof, we adopted a policy of, for the most part, ignoring any of the horse race insofar as it doesn't relate to, you know, movement issues. You know, so if the candidates are taking stands and movements are responding, then we'll do coverage about that. But we're not going to post videos of candidates dancing or, you know, post things that are like, this candidate said this really dumb thing yesterday and everyone went wild. So, I mean, what's your thought on how everything's developed in this country where media is so reliant on the presidential election?
Well, the presidential election is honestly just a circus, if I may say. It's really, I mean, it does not truly represent the people. It's really disturbing. And the only reason they're going with it is because a lot of these media organizations are getting thousands upon thousands of dollars in ad revenue from posting about these candidates, you know, their campaign advertisements. And then they're getting special interest monies from the actual campaigns to push a certain candidate. And then when we have coverage of people like, you know, Donald Trump and Ben Carson's ridiculous statements, you know, it really just shows that it's all just, you know, dog and pony show. That's really all it is. And the real question, the real thing that the media should be talking about is, where are the third party candidates? Most countries have more than two parties that represent the people. And here in the United States, we have a two-party system, and it acts really more like a dictatorship to us because they don't really truly represent us. They're representing corporate and special interests and war agendas. And so, you know, even at Mint Press, you know, if, you know, sometimes we have from our syndicating partners, we'll post something like Ben Carson said this or Donald Trump said this, and how just ridiculous it is. We'll point out the ridiculousness of it. But the real coverage should be in, why aren't we giving a voice, and why are third party candidates like Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, who represents the Libertarian Party and the Green Party, why aren't they being given a voice? People like Ron Paul, even in the last presidential election, was ostracized and demonized and ridiculed for, you know, speaking up against a pro-war agenda and exposing the corporatocracy that we live in. And so that's really where the coverage should be. And I really appreciate, you know, when independent journalists really give those other candidates a voice, because we just can't rely on our media of doing that. And that's unfortunately encouraging people to only vote for those two parties, which is the Democrat and Republican Party. But if I believe the number is over 60% of Americans actually don't identify as Democrat or Republican. If we actually listened to Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, we'd probably more identify with independent candidates, which is the truth. And if we actually put our hearts and minds and we followed what their campaigns stand for, we might actually start to see change within our system. But we're told day in and day out that we have to vote for only those two parties. And of course, the media just encourages that and pushes that. And so now we know why that the media doesn't really work for us. It's working for those, you know, that dictatorship, that corporate dictatorship that rules over us.
And it does seem that, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it does seem that it fuels arguments and polarization. This is the very thing that these same people usually like to stump and pretend like they're very much against. And if you had other parties that were involved and it wasn't just always Republican versus Democrat, then you don't just see everything as the way CNN likes to present it, whereas like there's two sides to every issue. It's that, oh, now there are like four or five different perspectives, and here's maybe one or two that are sane.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we're being given a very polarized, you know, view of politics, but this nation is so diverse. And I would like to think that we're not a racist nation, as Donald Trump seems to represent. I would like to think that We're not a bunch of xenophobes as Ben Carson likes to represent. We're really not. At the end of the day, most people want access to jobs. They want access to health care. They want access to good education. They want security. They don't want any more war, that's for sure. And then we have candidates that, you know, tell us that that's what they're going to do, like Bernie Sanders, which I have a lot of respect for Bernie Sanders because he did bring attention to the corporate ownership of America. But at the same time, he's still parroting those same talking points that serve the military industrial complex. Like, he's going to continue Obama's drone program and continue military aid to apartheid Israel and Saudi Arabia. And so we really have to be careful with these supposed, leftist or peace candidates and kind of dig a little bit deeper for the candidates that actually represent our wants and needs.
So last thing I wanted to ask you about is part of what motivated this interview was a column that was written by someone who you've had to deal with in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota named Terry Burke. And this is a person who acts like an infiltrator. Maybe you could shed a few details before I go on to the other part of my question.
Sure. So, yeah, Terry Burke has been basically harassing me for nearly 2 years now. Whenever I have an event, I kind of just expect her to be there. I've never met her before. I've never even seen her face. So I don't know what she looks like, because I don't think she has any photos of herself online. But she has been coming to my events as a heckler, as a disruptor to the events. And she tells the organizers that she's an anti-war activist and she's, a liberal, a leftist, all of those things. But she comes from an organization called CISPOS, which is the Committee in Solidarity with the Syrian People. And it supposedly works to bring attention to Assad's war crimes, which, Assad has definitely committed war crimes in Syria. But she attacks journalists. She attacks other activism groups if they focus on a non-interventionist foreign policy, which is just really, really strange. And so this woman had been a part of Women Against Military Madness. It's a national organization. It's woman-based. It's just like Code Pink. It's just a little bit smaller. And she used to sit, I believe, on their board, and she was a part of their group. But when the group spoke out against the war in Syria, this woman, Terry, went on to disrupt their events, smear them locally. She had contacted other, media and so forth to say that they're pro-Assad, even though, all of these organizations, including myself, are just trying to bring attention to, to a non-interventionist foreign policy. And so she's been disrupting and acting as a heckler to not just myself, I'm just the latest victim of her disruptions, but to several anti-war groups, including Veterans for Peace, including the local Veterans for Peace. And her thing is, which is just so odd, is to smear these organizations as pro-Assad. And I just find that really, really interesting.
And so the reason why I wanted to raise this with you is that I followed the cases of activists, and around half of them, I think, are from the Twin Cities area. And the anti-war committee was raided by the FBI in 2010. And the activists there, and then there's people around Chicago and a few in Michigan who had been involved in organizing the march at the Republican National Convention in 2008. And so the climate there for organizing has been and continues to be one where I think people are probably on edge and very concerned about anyone around them who would engage in this sort of behavior, because there was a woman who identified herself as Karen Sullivan and had infiltrated their group and was part of the planning meetings for the march at the RNC in 2008. And so I don't know if you have anything to add to this, but, in your experience, this is something you have to be concerned about when faced with characters who approach you so relentlessly like Terry.
Right, and I actually was contacted by a few of the anti-war groups here who have shared their concern about people like Terry and about Terry herself. And they, you know, we don't know, you know, we just don't know. But they suspect that based on her behavior of being a part of the anti-war group, but then being really supportive of the war in Syria, or at least parroting those establishment talking points about Syria, and then disrupting events like my event. I had a local event here last year called How the Corporate Media Beats the Germs of War, and she was outside my event. So I had never heard of her before, never met her. And the organizers had told me that she had been disrupting all of their events and smearing them as pro-Assad. So based on this behavior, they do actually suspect locally that she is an infiltrator within the movement. And she's made, you know, quite the name for herself. And she's, you know, trusted, ironically, by, you know, people like at MinnPost, who are, you know, a very establishment liberal media organization, who give her a voice. But what she's doing is really just McCarthyism. I mean, she wants everybody to not speak up against U.S. intervention. Although she says that she's anti-war and her organization, CISPOS, is anti-war, she's very adamant about all of us not speaking up against that. We must only talk about Assad's crimes. And of course, Assad has committed grave crimes. He reacted to the rebels infiltrating in his country with grave, grave force. And it's just a mess in Syria. And it's not that all of us are trying to, you know, blame just the U.S. government or just, you know, NATO for the mess that's happening there. But we really have to get to the root cause of this. And, you know, when we act as watchdogs, we get these people to kind of harass us. And again, I think it's all a diversion. This smearing and this infiltration is just a diversion to break us up. And in fact, CISPOS is now responsible for breaking up several anti-war groups. She's divided several anti-war groups and rallying people to support the war in Syria. It's just a very strange situation. You know, I don't know, but these organizations do believe that she could be an infiltrator based on her behavior.
Yeah, I mean, nobody knows, and I'll be tremendously clear about that, but it wouldn't take much. I mean, all the FBI would have to do is maybe be in conversation every now and then. I mean, you wouldn't have to be an informant or actually be working meaningfully for the FBI. They could just be talking to her and she could feel like she's, you know, doing something important and have had prior conversations with the FBI. And I just know that they've been active in the Twin Cities.
They definitely have.
And so to wrap, I'd like to end on maybe a strong point here, which is to say that it's always been my opinion that when you're writing about anything or providing commentary or putting together investigative journalism, that you focus on the actions, the misconduct or crimes of your country, and that you're particularly focused on what your government is doing because you're a citizen or resident of that country, and that's what matters most. I can't really do anything about what Vladimir Putin is doing to other people.
Exactly.
I'm not a Russian. I can't really help topple Assad. I'm not a Syrian. But I can do something for the Syrian people by speaking out about what my government's doing to make things more difficult for Syrians. And I'll make that statement and allow you to wrap up our interview with any final thoughts you have.
I don't know if I have anything else to add. I mean, that you said it perfectly. I mean, we are taxpayers. We are citizens of the United States, and it is our job to keep our government in check. I mean, the last time I checked, we were supposedly a democracy. So in a democracy, the only way to have a functioning democracy is to have a free press that acts as a watchdog to our government. And that's what we need to continue doing. And when we do get attacked, which this happens to so many of us, when we get pressured, when we get critiqued for not exposing other things, you know, whatever it may be, it's really just a diversion, because we are truly making an impact. And I think a lot of us need to wear these attacks and these, you know, the smears against us as a badge of honor, especially when they're coming from people or organizations that are parroting those neoconservative talking points. So it's definitely something to be proud of.
All right, Manar, thank you for giving me so much of your time and talking. And people can support Mint Press News by going to mintpressnews.com and sharing their journalism and keeping up with their fantastic work. So thank you, Manar.